Hey, it's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Dox. And coming up on the show, what the hell did we watch last night in Las Vegas? An epic matchup between the Raiders and the Ravens. We're going to get into all of that. Why was he left so wide open in overtime? Lamar Jackson continues to struggle at times. We'll get into that. Plus, we are going to play a fun little game of can you guess the concession price at Allegiant Stadium? We're also going to catch up with the great Petros Papadakis, who will go over the disaster that is USC, who is in search of a new head coach. It's all yours. Coming up next here, Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I mean, do you want to talk about bizarre? That's exactly how we describe it. What the hell happened last night in Las Vegas? We'll get to all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app and on all of our Fox Sports Radio affiliates, hundreds of those all across the country. We appreciate you making us a part of your Tuesday morning as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. What the hell was that last night?
I'm trying to figure out
what the hell that was.
It was an interesting game.
It was.
I think listening to John Gruden postgame and his comments were probably pretty appropriate, right? I think there's people who turned it off at different points in time thinking maybe the Raiders won, and they would have been right. Or maybe that the Ravens were going to win. I don't know, but that was one of the most entertaining games I can remember in the past few years. I mean, it was up and down all around, and I came away most impressed by just the perseverance of Derek Carr. I mean, this guy has been battled and beaten. Everyone's trying to find someone to replace him. And I still don't think they have a number one wide receiver. I mean, they've got Waller. Waller's great. Everyone thinks they force it to him too much, but at this point, that's really their only option. But they still don't give him much help, and he continues to deliver in the clutch. I mean, time and time again, I came away extremely impressed with Derek Carr after that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When I watch him, okay.
I'll save it.
I said that they are a show team. And what I mean by show team, at times they show. And during the course of this game, they had glimpses where they shown what they can be. The play calling looked to be effective and efficient. Derek Carr's arm looked to be effective and efficient. They looked to be able to execute effectively and efficiently. Now, when I look at the Ravens, and I'm asking myself during the course of the game, is this a different game if both the running backs, J.K. Dobbins and also, what's my guy? Who's the big back?
Gus Edwards.
Big Gus Edwards, yeah. Right? Gus the Bus. I'm asking myself, is this a different game? I do believe it's a different game. If those guys are playing, just because I think it would have created a little bit more balance and a little bit more time of possession for Baltimore, and I think it would have took some pressure off of Lamar Jackson. But make no mistake about it, you have to go into a stadium. You have to be able to put the game away when you have opportunities to put the game away. I felt like the Ravens had moments where they could have took control of the game, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And I guess I could say the same thing about the Raiders. I guess the Raiders had moments in the game where they could have took over the game, and they didn't. And so I got to say, I come away from the game feeling I was high on the Ravens, obviously. I didn't like the injuries to their backfield. I do think that it did play a difference. So I'm not as high on the Ravens, but I'm not higher on the Raiders as I was before the game. I think they kind of did what was expected. They made some plays. They did some interesting things. They were able to win this game.
Because I think you were saying before the show, they're the worst 1-0 team you've seen in the history of the NFL. Is that what
I
you were
say
saying?
In the history.
Was that me that said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. I won't say in
the history.
Come on.
I won't say in the history.
The Texans are a lot closer to that. Jonas.
By the way, you mentioned the John Gruden post-game. Here was the Raiders head coach afterwards.
Coach, in your career, have you ever been involved in a game like this before where it almost appeared like you had to win the game twice? Can you recall anything like this in your career?
I died and woke up and died again, and I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough, but again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
I mean, how many people do you think had money on the game last night that became drug addicts because of the game last night? Like have full-blown addiction problems.
You have
problems
way
right
too
now.
Much invested in the game, if that's what you... if that's the dark... hey, Brady, if that's the dark alleyway that football is taking, you need... you don't need football. You need Jesus.
I mean...
yeah. You need some church.
That's what you need.
And by the way...
Go to church.
Little behind the scenes here. All right, the reason why Brady is so celebrating Derek Carr coming into this game is because he nearly had to walk back an email bloviating about the greatness of Derek Carr as we were sending pre-show notes.
Because
Derek Carr saved his ass because Lamar Jackson couldn't take care of the football, so now Brady Quinn is looking around going, well, I mean, nobody knows. I mean, Derek Carr, the great Derek Carr, he saved you. That's what this is all about. You're celebrating Derek Carr.
No, he saved me. What he really did was he made me look more prophetic, right? I called this. I really went back to the regulation when they had the ball with 37 seconds and they had to get into a chance to have a field goal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, that's a very, very slim chance of them being able to actually execute that and get that done. And he made it look like clockwork, dude. He made it look like clockwork. When they needed it, he got it for them. That was what impressed me most about it. And then I think it was how he just handled pressure. You know, both I guess the long pass to Bryan Edwards up the sidelines that wasn't a touchdown but appeared to be, and then Zay Jones to finish. You know, if you're a Ravens fan, you might be blaming Wink Martindale because you already watched how they won the game, quote-unquote, before to Bryan Edwards. You brought pressure. You flushed him out of the pocket. He threw it up to Bryan Edwards, who took advantage of one-on-one coverage and damn near got in the end zone. And so you already watched how that happened once. And then the play that he turns the ball over is the play. Granted, it's closer down, you know, down near the end zone, but you don't bring any pressure. And so then you go to, you know, after Lamar Jackson turns the football over, what does Mark Greendale do? He throws it up again. And there's Zay Jones all alone by himself because it's one-on-one coverage with no safety help. I mean, it's a boom or bust defense.
It is.
I don't think it has to be either, LeVar. Like, your guy, Odafe Owe?
Yeah,
oh, my God, man. Nice. That dude can get after
he's
it.
He's fast,
I was
man.
Telling you guys
he
about
is.
Him last week.
He's
yeah.
fast. He's just so
yeah,
fast.
Jonas kept talking about him in the showers, but I'm just saying between – I mean, that was just Jonas.
Yeah.
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 But I'm saying that I don't know that they need to. I think I came into the game wondering what their pass rush would look like. I have no questions about that now. And, you know, honestly – as much as I will say Derek Carr won that game, and he did, he played incredible to me in clutch
awesome.
Spots. The Ravens put him in a chance to be able to take advantage. And I don't think that's the play with a veteran quarterback. I think that was poorly schematically called, in part because Derek Carr's seen all of this before, and John Gruden had seen all this, and they were prepared for it. They dialed up some plays for it. You got to give credit to the Raiders. They were dealing with some injuries too, right? Their offensive line was banged up.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs looks like a shell of himself. He didn't look like he was back to 100%, but tried to give it a go. You know, Ruggs at one point, you know, went out. He had a hard time, you know, kind of making as big of an impact as I think they're hoping he'll have. So I think you're looking at both sides of it. There's issues for both sides, and the Raiders were able to survive it.
Brady, let me ask you this. Looking at that game, Lamar couldn't get as much spacing and in terms of his movement as he has historically been able to do. And the question will always come up, or it came up before the season, and if you guys remember, he had the soundbite saying, listen, defenses haven't figured me out. They haven't caught up to him. It did not look as though Lamar, running-wise, was going to be able to dictate the outcome of that game like in seasons past. Did you see that, or did you feel as though, you know, what were your feelings in terms of what Lamar Jackson, mobility-wise, will impact? Did you take anything away from this one?
I took away the fact that their offensive line is in as bad of a spot as it's been for a while, in part because of Alejandro Villanueva at right tackle. I don't mean to be harsh on a player. He looks like a spinning top. If that's what they're going to put out there every week at right tackle, jeez, and somehow they didn't watch last year's film of him at Pittsburgh where it was no different, he's in for a long – he can't stop anyone. I mean, Max Crosby is a good edge rusher in the NFL. He is good. He is not what I would consider elite. He's good. I mean, again, he can get after. He's going to pop in games. He made him look like an all-pro. I mean, I don't care who you are. If you're not going to address that then with giving some help with the tight end or some help with the running back, and you just want Lamar and you're going to say, hey, you got to step up every time, or you got to maneuver every single time he drops back, we can't get my man a clean pocket. Are we serious right now? I mean, he literally became a magician. I don't know if you watched the touchdown pass to Marquise Brown, but the way he slithered and slid through, he put on a top hat. He had his cape and a little – he pulled a rabbit out of a hat, and then he slid through the pocket to be able to make that throw. It was one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen. Hmm. But that's what if that's how the offensive line is going to protect him, that's unfortunately what he's going to have to deal with. So I was more, I think, frustrated from a quarterback standpoint that – and two things. The protection wasn't great. The scheme wasn't great in helping him. But I will say this. There was a few times my wife was sitting there watching with me the first half, and I'm like, come on, man. Let go of the ball. Like, it's there. Mm-hmm. There's guys running open, and for whatever reason, he's not seeing it. Mm. I mean, it's I know it takes time if you're not accustomed to that. But there
can you say that this year?
Yes.
Is that acceptable in this year of his
career? I will accept it for the rest of his career, LeVar, because he is so damn good moving around and running with the football. And there's still some special things he can do. I mean, he can change his arm slot. Now, some of it's not always for the better because he's a little bit inaccurate when he drops down that sidearm throw. But he could still do it, and he could still get the throws off accurately at times. So I will be as patient with Lamar Jackson as long as I need to, because he's that special of a talent. See, like he does stuff again. He's magic, man. He's magic. I mean, I don't know who you want to compare with magician, but it's incredible what he can do.
You know, just listening to you as a defender, if he's missing open receivers because he's holding it, that says that he is still trusting his ability to be mobile more than he's trusting his ability to read his receivers and trust that his receivers are going to be where they're supposed to be. That would mean to me as someone who would, you know, obviously I'm a defensive-minded coach, so if I'm going into a game against a guy that just sitting, what you just said, I want him to move. I want him to move because if he's moving, then he's not focusing in on schematically the timing. Like, sometimes you can look at the fact that, all right, the longer a play goes, it could either work against an offense or it could work in the advantage of an offense. Guys can't cover but so long before guys begin to come open. And if a quarterback can see it, they can deliver to it. But if you're telling me that he's late on the timing of the routes because of the movement, then I'm going to want him to move. Right, and that, I mean, that's what it kind of ultimately comes down to.
Because of Villanueva at the right tackle spot. I mean, I'm not trying to be overly harsh. I watched it all last year. I was frustrated for Ben then, and now I'm watching it again, and I'm like, good heavens, man. Like, and the thing I appreciate about Taylor Lewan is, you know, he gets beat by Chandler Jones a bunch this past week, calls himself out and admits it. I mean, I'm not saying Villanueva needs to do that, but he's got to make a change, man. I mean, he went from being with Pittsburgh for I don't know how long, forever it felt like. And now he's with a team within the division. Like, show them what you can be. Show them what you still got. You can't put that out there. I mean, it was.
Because he was upset the way they let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't make. So what you're saying is he didn't make Pittsburgh look like they made a bad decision, is what you're saying.
No. I mean, I think if you go back and watch the tape of what Pittsburgh and Buffalo did, I mean, I would say that offensive line held up a hell of a lot better than what we saw last night. Mm. I mean, and you know this too, LeVar. If you're rushing against Lamar Jackson, you're not going to rush as hard.
You got to punt. You got to play punt coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're not even getting that, like, you know, two hands in the ground, sprinter stance, firing off the ball yet. Because I don't know that you ever can when Lamar Jackson's at quarterback. So I just – that's a problem, man. It's going to be – I don't know that their wide receiver personnel is a problem. I think they've got plenty. Loved Watkins on the over for his receiving yards last night, hitting that prop bet.
But degenerate.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of prop bets I have to hit. By the way, the easiest one ever, I think you can just go ahead and bid on this the rest of the season, Derek Carr over passing attempts. All right, it was 33.5 last night. He almost passed that mark like midway through the third quarter.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially Josh, like you mentioned, Josh Jacobs did not look like the same guy from a couple of years ago. And so we got to wait to see, because I know he's dealing with some sort of a toe issue, and then he was sick or something like that going into the game. So one game in and already a problem.
What would they call it? The Vegas flu? Is that new variant?
Yeah, it happens.
The Vegas flu?
You pick that up at a slot machine near you when you're in Vegas. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We are going to get to this just disaster in the world of football coming up here momentarily. I'm going to vomit at some point during
the show. It is a disaster. It is bad.
I'm going to throw up at some point.
And you know what's funny is I immediately knew what you were talking about. Didn't look at the rundown right this second to say, okay, here's where we're going. I just know exactly what you're talking about. And you know what? If you're a sports fan, you probably know exactly what we're talking about.
I don't know. You guys have that unique connection, you know, like brothers.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
that is a good
so
point.
We all do.
Almost like five brothers. Yeah, like the movie.
It's very.
I think
totally.
I'd be Tyrese or no. I think I'd be Andre 3000 in the movie.
Okay.
Who you guys think you'd be?
I don't know what movie the hell you're talking about.
Brothers, so four brothers. Come on, man.
Nah, is it four brothers?
The brothers. Five. The brothers.
Yeah, I never seen it.
I think it's four brothers. So I think
four
right.
brothers.
We are brothers. Yeah. We're doing radio, and we're. Give me a high five. Y'all remember that jingle?
No, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Wayans brothers.
The Wayans brothers.
I left out a couple interesting words.
Yeah, you did? Why is that?
Yeah, because, you know, some people. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. All right, good. I wanted to make sure that
worked. It's not about me being racist. It's about me not wanting cancel culture to come for me.
Yeah.
Or for you guys.
No, I hear you.
We wouldn't want them to mistake this as, like, kind of like a cancel culture type of environment.
I hear
that
you.
We don't want that.
Listen, it's understandable.
It's running rampant. You know where it should. Cancel culture should turn its attention to the dumpster fire that you're talking about and alluded to and teased when we came into the segment.
Yeah.
And how about that?
Yeah, no, listen. Right.
That's where they should turn their attention to.
All right, so we are going to get to that.
Can you not make me choke on my coffee, please?
We're going to get – well, here's the thing. We also need to – this needs to be discussed here on the air.
How you make live reads funny?
No, it just – you know, you're playing a little bit banged up today. You know, I'm trying to be, you know, I want to be as careful as possible because I don't want to.
Brady, I broke part of my molar off. And it's like, it's starting to hurt really bad.
Yeah.
Like really bad.
Like sensitive.
What'd you bite?
Nuts. You know, like not nuts as like a new perv out there sitting there saying, Lamar said he jacked his tooth up on some nuts. Like, I was really eating mixed nuts. Chocolate covered, actually.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
Yeah.
Great move. Chocolate, forget that.
Chocolate coconut covered nuts. And I was just really
so good.
I was really into so I've been watching this Netflix joint called Startup.
What's wrong with Macadamia?
I'm not in. They're okay, but...
What? I'm just asking.
What is wrong with you, man?
I'm just asking questions here.
I mean,
but I just, you know, I'm just curious. You know, we're talking.
I'm kind of curious why you'd ask that question.
I don't know.
What, is that my, I mean, a certain cookie?
No, I'm just
made such a weird face when he said it, though. So it was totally loaded.
They're used at a certain type of cookie.
Yeah, they are.
Just was wondering why it had to be, you know.
Almonds?
The kind that you liked.
Well, because it's the kind that I like, Jonas.
I like
chocolate-covered coconut almonds.
Did you feel the tooth explode as you bit into the chocolate-covered
almonds? You know what's crazy? I just kept chewing. I don't even recall it.
See, it's that kind of perseverance that really separates you.
I think I probably swallowed it.
LeVar, go ahead. My question is, does that make you feel old? Because I feel like when you start having tooth issues with, like, eating certain types of food.
Oh, man.
That's like an age thing.
All right. So let me tell you what makes you feel old is when you have a bad back.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're by yourself, you can get away with convincing yourself that you're not old. You just got to straighten yourself up a little bit more. It takes a little longer. You got to warm yourself up. But when I go to high school every day. So I spend time being around. I'm not coaching, but I'm around them every day. And yesterday, my daughter had a volleyball game. And for some strange reason, my wife chose to sit all the way up really high on the bleachers. And I'm walking up the bleachers, and I think I'm moving like a cool dude. Like, oh, he's cool. You know, I'm LeVar. I'm cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the dude.
Yeah, I hear you.
Until one of the football players like, hey, coach, you all right? not what's up, coach. Not what's up, coach.
You got a limp and you don't know it.
Man, bro, I look like I'm about to fall over sometimes when I'm walking because I can't straighten my back up all the way sometimes. So, yeah, to answer your question with a long, drawn-out story of, hey, coach, are you all right? You know, I thought I was in my, like, real, like gangster strut. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to see my chick. She's a good-looking chick. I did all right. And, yeah, I was told to straighten up, like, basically, with the are you okay, coach?
Well, listen, look, we love you.
So, yes, the answer is yes. I feel old as hell.
Yeah, we don't judge. It's all right.
Listen. I always tell people I'm in dog years, man.
Yeah.
I was hitting dudes really hard. You know, it wasn't the running backs that got my back. It got me, you know, where I can't straighten up. It was the linemen.
Yeah.
It was the linemen, man. Because I was trying to truck them more than I was trying to truck everybody else.
How'd that go?
It went well for a time. It just doesn't work out well for me now in my older age. My lower, what is it, L1, L2 or whatever, they're sitting there and they're saying, listen, man, you know, I told you when you were doing it back then to chill out, and you didn't chill out. Like, you just kept going. You just kept putting the pressure on me. And now I'm going to get you back for the rest of your life. That's kind of what happened.
Well, listen, we hope things work out with you and those nuts.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I'm going to get my tooth fixed today, by the way.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
We were going to have to hit the dump button.
Turn your mic off and say it. All right, I'll turn mine off too. Go ahead.
All right, thank you.
That's insulting.
Yes, wasn't it?
I didn't know. Jesus. I mean, we're gonna go that personal. My God. All right. Coming up next here on FSR, we are going to talk about a diaper fire in the world of football. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, a man who was at RFK Stadium this past weekend.
Oh, that's so funny.
And he spotted a LeVar Arrington jersey.
FedEx,
dude. Great Eddie Garcia.
What up, E?
What's up, guys? Right. Yeah, it was FedEx. I did drive by RFK. I'm like, my God.
It's still there?
It's still there.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Still there. It's not looking so good, but back in the day.
True.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in, we'll call it a little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we are going to take another look back. There's another aspect to Monday Night Football that I think needs to be spoken about. We will get the players' experience, the former NFL players. We'll get their thoughts on an important question when it comes to many people listening, watching last night, and some of the players that competed last night. All right. The USC Trojans decided, you know what? It took two games. we got to move on from Clay Helton.
Oh my God.
They have fired Clay Helton. He is no longer the coach at USC. Brady Quinn sits on a desk every single weekend with a couple of USC Trojan greats in Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. I was unaware that the thread was so thin that he was hanging on by that it only took two games to fire Clay Helton, which begs the question there, Brady. Why the hell didn't you just do it 2 weeks ago or before the season? What are we doing?
It's clearly obvious you can't do it right before the season. If you're asking why they didn't do it back around at the end of last season, it's probably a legitimate question. It's one that I think they had hopes for with what they had coming back, how they had recruited. They thought maybe there was a chance this year would start off a little different. The reality is it didn't. They struggled versus San Jose State. The score looked drastically different, and I think they got like 17 points in the fourth quarter. But it looked drastically different than really how that game looked watching it. So that was the first kind of strike, like, hey, why are we allowing San Jose State to even play as close?
Mm.
The next game, they got absolutely throttled by a Stanford team that got throttled the week before by Kansas State. And is at a completely different position right now in the Pac-12, probably more closer to saying they're a rebuilding team than USC is. And it wasn't even how Stanford kind of jumped out. It was the difference between the two. Like, you have a Stanford team that's in no way, shape, or form as close to as talented as USC is, and they were playing with more energy, enthusiasm, more heart, more physicality. And those are things that I think just are not there with this head coach. Mm. Clay Helton is a really nice man. I think anyone who's dealt with him knows that. He cares about the players. He cares about his coaching staff. But this university has largely underachieved for quite some time. And by the way, it's not all on Clay Helton. Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to go there. So I'll go all the way there.
I'll go there. It's not all on Clay Helton. It is the structure of USC. It's
Oof.
The leadership there.
Oof.
It starts before, you know, Folt even got there as president. It started back when they continually kept hiring athletic directors just because they were USC alums. And I don't care who you want to throw into that conversation, but all those alums who took over as athletic directors and put them in this position. So Mike Bone has to come in, and now he's trying to clean it up. And he's trying to navigate what is essentially a bureaucratic system at USC.
Ooh.
So it's become a job that I don't think is as good as what everyone thinks it is. Because you've got to answer to so many different people above you. Mm-hmm. And let's just put that into comparison to Lincoln Riley in Norman, Oklahoma. Do you think he has to really answer to anyone at the university if he wants to do something?
No.
Hell no. Nick Saban in Alabama? Hell no. Kirby Smart at Georgia? Ryan Day at Ohio State? Mm. You know what all those teams have in common? They're all winning. Those are all teams that are playing for a national championship. Unfortunately, USC has gotten to a point where, and granted, maybe this is a byproduct of Pete Carroll when he left, because it was so bad and there was so much illegal stuff going on that it had just kind of completely taken over the entire university as far as how the football team was being operated. And so maybe that was a cause and effect of Pete leaving and the aftermath. But the truth is now it's legal, man. These boosters can pay these players. It's all above board when you do it the right way. So the truth is they shouldn't have any issues moving forward to bring in a strong figurehead like that to get USC back to where it should be. There's no reason they shouldn't be top three every single year recruiting, and they're not right now.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of took my thunder right there. It's USC. They don't give – first of all, after the Pete Carroll era, they should have tried to find somebody that could emulate exactly what Pete Carroll was doing. You don't go away from what works. It wasn't broken.
Well,
listen,
you can't keep paying kids. That was the issue because they got caught. Right?
Hey, Brady, the issue wasn't that they was paying kids. The issue is that they got caught. So
Right. Create
a better mousetrap for what it
is. Yeah, exactly.
Let's just be honest here, right? Let's just be honest. You went away from a model that landed you Heisman Trophy winners, one of the all-time greatest, most exciting football players that you'll ever see play the game, and you were winning national championships. You were competitive. Like, let's be clear here. This is the Pac-12. This is not the Big Ten. This is not the SEC. When you have the star power connected to the tradition, the pageantry, that's connected to a school like USC, you're never really and mind you, in a market that's better than all of the competitive teams that are above you. Keep that in mind. So you have the best market to be able to get players and get recruits. You also have a conference where you should be totally dominant in that conference, and you have been fringe since Pete Carroll has left. You have been a fringe team since he's left. And it's because nobody's, for one, if you've brought in somebody who can do it, because some people thought it might have been Sarkisian, he's able to recruit, all those gifts. All right, I get that. Yeah. But if you are going to bring in somebody that you think is going to turn this program around, then you had better think about how much time you're going to give them, how much autonomy you're going to give them, and what that looks like, because it just seems like it is an impossible task to make whoever these decision makers are behind the scenes for USC make them happy. I mean, there is something going on behind the scenes at USC that is keeping them from turning the corner or even going in the right direction of that program remotely coming close to what it was in its glory days. And it's pretty sad, because when USC is a great football team, it's great for college football. It's great for sport. And they have just been a fringe team for so long. And it's disgusting to me.
And Petros Papadakis is going to join us in the final hour of the program at 8:20 Eastern time, 5:20 Pacific.
I can't wait to hear his opinion on it.
He is going to lay waste to USC. Oh. Nobody takes the ball bat out to USC like Petros does, being a USC alum. So that'll be a lot of fun coming up later on. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, boots on the ground at Monday Night Football. I have got some special info. I've got some inside info on the scene there in Las Vegas. We'll have all that for you next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Carmen and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour here, there's a rumor going around about a quarterback situation in the NFL that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So we are going to dive into that here coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so we had boots on the ground at the Raiders game last night in Las Vegas. My brother was there. All right. Now, I need Brady Quinn and LeVar Arrington. I need Brady Quinn and LeVar Arrington to promise me that you guys are going to be honest. All right. Will you be honest here, Brady, and not Google search anything? I need to know. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I will not.
Okay. All right. So you will not promise that. All right. I have got concession and menu prices from the Raiders game in Las Vegas last night.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so here we go. This is how this is going to work. Yeah. I'm going to go one at a time. and I'm going to see who gets closest to being able to guess the price of these items at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. You guys are going to have two lifelines. One of them is Roberto, Raider ball washer
there.
Number one. Well, no, but
how
like this
lifeline,
but they follow the team.
Right? Roberto would know.
And then Danny G, the other Raider ball washer here on the show. So you've got both of those as your lifelines. You guys can pick and choose which one
I
you want to use, but you can only use it once. All right, so let's get it started here. The first item up.
$8.
Oh, that's too low.
Down. All right, the first item up. A bottle of Coca-Cola.
Oh, a bottle of Coca-Cola.
All right, so LeVar Arrington, you want to go first here? Who's closest?
$6.
All right, you're going to go six. Brady Quinn?
I'm going to I guess before I say this, Are we doing like prices right here? How are we doing this?
Yeah, just whoever's closest.
You could go $1 if you want. If you think I'm so far off,
whoever's closest.
Okay. No, I think you're pretty close. I think it's more expensive though. I'm gonna say. I want to say 10, but I'm gonna say 8. I think the number you threw out, I think it's probably right. 8.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, LeVar Arrington is on the board. It is $6.
$6.
It is $6.
Okay.
LeVar is on the board
here
early
go.
On. So now we move on to concession item number two. Brady Quinn will get to go first on this one. Brady Quinn, how about a domestic canned beer? So this would be a Coors Light, a Bud Light, you know, something domestic. How much is a domestic canned beer at Allegiant Stadium, Brady Quinn?
How many of these are we doing? I'm just trying to get a sense for my life.
Five.
Lines. We're doing five of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Roberto,
I'm going to bring you in as my lifeline here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Given that you've had a number of cervezas.
He's having one right now.
You'd be the person to help me win this one. How much would a can of beer be?
I'm going to say $15.
Okay.
All right, it seems high, but I'll go with it. I'll go with it.
All right, LeVar Arrington.
I'm going to go with $8.50.
$8.50.
Wow, that's right. Super low.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Brady Quinn is on the board. $13 for a domestic can.
Well done.
Nice.
$8.50. What, you're thinking of high school football games.
Thank you, Roberto.
Come on,
you
man.
Got it. Thank you, Roberto.
You
thank
got
you,
it.
Sir.
Yeah, this is
for a can.
$13. That's cheap.
For a can of beer. Yeah, it's not. It's actually. It's not that bad. You know,
that's
if you
pretty
go to,
cheap. Actually,
yeah, you go to a lot of
that's
places.
That's premium liquor.
It is.
Go ahead.
All right. So next up, how about a premium canned beer? Now, this would be something like a Modelo, LeVar Arrington. I don't know if you've ever had a Modelo before,
yeah.
LeVar.
Yeah.
A Dos Equis, if you will. you know, something
please.
from our friends, you know,
Dos
down
Mas.
South. Dos Mas.
Jeez.
Yeah, don't say that in certain places. But here we go. LeVar Arrington, you go first.
I mean, after that, domestic, let's go. Why not? Let's go $20.
All right, so $20
oh, wow.
for
jeez.
A premium canned beer for LeVar Arrington. Brady Quinn, go ahead.
I've wanted to say 20. I guess I'll say 18 because I feel like he's probably right. I think 20 is the number. I'll say 18.
All right. Ladies
you might
and gentlemen,
be right.
Brady Quinn is on the board again.
$15
for a premium canned beer.
That's all the markup
yeah,
is?
Yeah, you get a
wow,
– and
that's
by
surprising.
The way, I know this for a fact.
You might as well go premium then.
Yeah, 24-ounce Modelo is $15 at the game.
Dodger Stadium.
Which,
whoa. We should have asked. You guys are talking 24-ouncers?
It doesn't – I mean, it's just – these are just
oh,
based
it does
on the
matter,
prices.
Pal. Okay. Last time I checked,
right, here we go.
If you were saying 12-ounce,
he's always
got to
find – there's always a problem. He's always getting screwed over somehow.
No, you're not telling us how big these beers are.
Right,
it matters.
Brady only needs one
right
more
here.
To win.
Yes. All right, Brady, you need one more to win, and we're going to really crank things up a bit here. Ladies and gentlemen, a beer and cheddar brat. Brady Quinn, a beer and cheddar bratwurst at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah.
This is
and is the beer premium or is it
yeah.
domestic?
It's just a food item.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Beer flavor. You know, it's a beer brat.
Oh,
yeah.
Beer flavor. Right. Gotcha.
So go ahead,
gotcha.
Brady. What do you think here?
Oh man, I'm gonna say $14.
Okay, LeVar Arrington,
give it to me, Danny G.
Damn it,
Danny, you're the lifeline for LeVar here.
Man. I'm going to say $12.50.
All right.
All right.
Let's go with $12.50.
Right. Is that Roberto just said 30?
LeVar Arrington is on the board.
Yes!
It's $13.
Yeah.
That came right down to it. All right. Finally, whoa, whoa. Guys, finally, a Raiders bottled water. LeVar, go quickly here.
$8.
Brady Quinn.
Oh, no, that's what I want to say. $8.01.
All right, there we
Ladies and gentlemen.
Brady Quinn is the winner.
LeVar has done it. It's $6.
Yes!
Oh! Yes! Oh! He's your winner.